You're listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 357. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. Hey, 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 you amazing human, and welcome back to another awesome episode of the Angela Henderson Online Business Show. Today, we are chatting about marketing. And let's be honest, we all need marketing because if we didn't market, we simply wouldn't have a business because people wouldn't know about us. Furthermore, marketing is changing. From the rise of, you know, artificial intelligence to the growing influence of social commerce, the future of marketing is brimming, my friend, with exciting possibilities. But with these possibilities, we are also met with uncertainty as business owners. And because of this, it is our responsibility to adapt and evolve in tandem with these changing times. And so staying ahead of marketing, you know, the marketing curve isn't just a goal, but right now it's an absolute necessity. So joining me on the podcast today is a friend of mine, Alex Catoni, who is no stranger to the world of marketing. She's helped over 500,000 copywriters around the world, and this lady is a weapon. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about how has the buyer behavior changed. We're also going to be diving into some major trends that we're noticing in marketing today. We're also going to talk about how artificial intelligence and all that machine learning is impacting marketing strategies and what do we need to do to move forward, and also just how to stand out and be a good human as a marketer today. So buckle up because it's going to be another epic episode with all levels of goodness. Hey, 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 welcome to the show, Alex.
I am so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Goodness, I'm so excited to be here. And as we were talking before we hit record, it's almost been, well, it's been over a year since we first met in a mastermind in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had to have you on the podcast because you're just this bundle of joy and just a wealth of knowledge. And so I'm thrilled to have you here today.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about all things marketing.
I know things are changing quickly, very, very quickly. But before we jump into the all levels of awesomeness of marketing, I always like to ask my guests a fun question so the audience gets to know you a little bit better. So my fun question to you is, I know you got married last year in May in Italy, and I'd love to know what was your most like memorable favorite part of having an Italian wedding, because it looked absolutely magical.
Oh, that's such a good question. As soon as you asked that, I got a huge smile on my face. So I think the story is kind of funny because we got married in May, as you said, in Italy, in Southern Italy. And this whole time that we're working with our wedding planner, we're asking her, you know, do we have a plan B in case it rains? Because like everything we're planning is indoors and like, or outdoors. And do we have a plan B? And everyone would say the same thing. It never rains in Italy in May. You're fine. It never rains in Italy in May. So you could probably guess where this story is going. I shit you not. It rained like crazy the entire week leading up to my wedding. I definitely had to have some vino and cheese and all of the things to cope with the stress I was experiencing. And then the morning of our wedding, it literally like downpoured. And so of course that's when the wedding planner and everyone, you know, moved to a plan B, which I only literally found out about that day. And so we had to do our ceremony like in a hallway. It was still a gorgeous hallway because in Italy, like everywhere is a, you know, Instagram moment, but it was a hallway of this hotel. And I, at this point, just completely let go of the fact that, you know, I wasn't going to get my, you know, long tables in the courtyard and we were eating inside now and all of that. But as we were saying our vows, literally the clouds parted just enough for like the sun to come down. And this rain stopped momentarily. And it was just this beautiful moment. And then all of our guests sort of walked down into the courtyard to have an Aperol spritz. And we did a couple photos and then we came down after. And I just have this vision burned into my brain of coming down this path towards this courtyard and having all of my friends and family standing there in this beautiful sun, this whitewashed villa, drinking these bright orange Aperol spritzes and this live saxophonist playing this gorgeous music as we walked towards everybody. And the sun stayed out for like that whole hour. And then it started raining again and we went inside. But to me, that 1 hour was just the most magical moment of my entire wedding.
Oh my goodness, how delightful. And just how you painted that picture, which is the beautiful notion of storytelling, which we're going to talk about in a little while anyways, right? But right. How beautiful. And just to have, because I know quite a few family and friends were able to make it over to Italy. Obviously, I was watching you on Instagram and stuff. And there was so much magic. There was so much, you could feel the love in the photos. So a huge congratulations. I know it's almost been a year. So yes, huge congratulations, my friend.
Aw, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, the listeners out there today might not know who you are. So in a simple nutshell, do you want to tell us a little bit about what you get up to in business?
Yeah. So I am a copywriter sort of by trade. I've been a copywriter for a long time. I'm also a marketing strategist and the founder of The Copy Posse, which is a community of copywriters and business owners who want to ignite their businesses with powerful and memorable messaging.
I love it. And I know you've been in the marketing space for a while now. I know, I think you've even helped over 500,000 copywriters around the world to create magic. So you know a thing or two about marketing. And in our current climate, things are changing. You know, in Australia, for example, interest rates are still a little bit skewy. People are buying less, specifically in the e-com industry. What we're seeing is some market trends. I'm curious to know, how has buyer behavior changed in your opinion?
Yeah, great question. You know, I think definitely to speak to your point of sort of the more immediate changes, I think people are being a lot more mindful about where they are spending their money now. And I think that just goes for any sort of recessionary period. But to me, that points to sort of a bigger opportunity, which is a trend that I'm seeing sort of happening over the last, really, it's been happening for the last 10 or so years, but really more acutely recently, is this mentality of taking your time and putting your money where your values are. Mm. I think back when I got into the marketing world in 2008, it really was about having the best offer. You know, you would see an opportunity in the marketplace, you would create an offer, you would run some traffic, you'd make more money than you spent. It was, you know, direct response marketing at its finest. And God, back then, when I think about how easy it was to make money, I'm just like,
so much easier.
I miss it so much. Yeah. And back then, like, nobody really knew what online marketing is. You know, you'd go to the same conferences and see the same 100 people everywhere. Yeah. Now, you know, you meet people on airplanes and at bars and they're telling you that they're digital marketers. My Uber driver the other day, he's like, I'm a digital marketer. And I'm like, oh, you don't say, tell me about that. And so It used to kind of feel like this secret superpower. And now digital marketing is marketing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think what I'm really noticing and what has made me really not question, but dive deeper into my metrics and look at a more holistic kind of marketing model is that people are taking longer to buy. They're needing more interactions and touch points before they make a purchasing decision. And they're a lot more skeptical, jaded, mistrusting, whatever you want to say, about what's happening online. And so, of course, you can look at that in the negative and go, oh, it's impossible to make money right now, or it's a lot harder to make money than it was, which is true in some ways. But I also think it creates a unique opportunity to really lean into what customers are looking for today, which is more of a buying experience. You know, people want to spend their money and have their money reflect what they believe in, what they care about. They want to support local businesses. They want to support women-led businesses. They want to support brands and businesses that speak up for their values and stand for something. And I think that, you know, branding used to be so overlooked. And even the word branding, whenever you say it, people think logos, people think, you know, font and colors and more of the traditional branding sense. But I do think that branding is becoming such a powerful opportunity for marketers right now to be like, okay, yes, I can write persuasive copy. Yes, I can craft a great offer. But what do I stand for? And how do I want to build a brand and a business that stands the test of time and, you know, has people coming back for more?
I I would agree with you on that. I think that, people are taking longer to convert, and I think they're watching people more closely than ever before. And I know my mentor, Scott Alford, often talks about like the four levels of consciousness too. And I think people need to be mindful of their buyer and that, and I'll briefly go over it because it would be a whole nother episode, but he talks about like, you've got a reactive buyer, a willful buyer, an intellectual buyer, and an intuitive buyer. And they all buy very differently. The reactive buyer likes, you know, sales pages, countdown timers, bonus in, bonus out. And they're the reactive buyer, right? Then you've got the willful buyer who needs a sales page. They need some testimonials and they're looking around. Their mindset's a little bit stronger. Then you've got the intellectual buyer and they actually need more like longer sales pages. They also need the ability to be able to hop on a discovery call. And they also need to like have case studies. They're really looking at a lot of data and they'd be like, if they're going to go buy a minivan, they know the data for 10 minivans in and out. Then you've got the intuitive buyer who is more so along the lines of like, this feels good, sign me up, right?
Yeah.
The problem that we've seen though is that the reactive and the intuitive buyer are also the ones who are more likely to ask for the refund. The reactive buyer, they bought it on a whim. The intuitive buyer, they're like, oh, this is actually, I've got to do work. It felt good at the beginning, but it doesn't feel good anymore that I've got to put the work in. And not all intuitives are like that. Let me make that clear. So I do think also keeping these levels of consciousness into play more than ever before. Because when I first heard about it, I was like, okay, this kind of makes sense. Mixed with the fact that people want to be seen. People don't want to just be a transaction. And so for me is, how are you bringing into this world that human to human marketing, or you may have heard of people to people, where it's the experience and interaction one faces with a particular brand. And people, like I said, they do want to feel, you know, they want to feel that they're part of something. And if you look at people's subconscious areas, people make decisions because they don't feel safe, they don't belong, or they don't think they're enough. So how are you also creating these communities where safety and belonging, do you mean, is a big part of it, because people want that more than ever before? What are your thoughts?
100%. Yeah, 100%. I think it's so important to think about all of that. I mean, I talk a lot about sort of the emotional buyer's journey, which is very similar to what you just said, you know, that people need to feel seen, safe, understood, like they belong, all of that. And while we love, you know, while we love the reactive buyers or the intuitive buyers, I think on a whole, I think everyone is just a little bit more skeptical than they were before too. You know, even when you talk about AI, and from a business owner and a marketer, I'm like, man, AI is the greatest, right? Like there's shortcuts. This is making my job faster. This is amazing. But then when you actually put yourself in the shoes of your customers, like, we are still selling to people. Like, let's not forget that. And now people like my mom and my grandma, who never in a million years would have ever known what AI is, are like, this is probably AI. And I'm like, actually, I don't think it is. But now they're literally thinking that everything is, even if it isn't. And so I think it's important for us to remember that mistrust is at an all-time high, and we can actually use that to our advantage by creating these experiences, exactly what you talked about.
I also think there's something so important. I think back to the yellow pages. I remember back in Canada, we're both from Canada, we would get the, you know, the books, and I remember going through them, and there's something so important around, you know, conversations equal connections, which equal conversions. And though AI is so brilliant, I still always think about, like, from a marketing perspective, where are you having conversations? Because it's the conversations that allow people to feel heard, feel seen, feel connected, and they're more likely and closer to a conversion. Not that we're just there for the conversion, but I also encourage people to think about in their marketing right now, where are you having those conversations? How are you having those conversations before they buy, when they buy, and post they buy, right? That entire journey, because, you know, we've got things in place that once we offboard someone, we will still make contact with them every 3 months. Do you know what I mean? Month three and then month six, for example, just to check in and see how they are. Not to sell them anything, but because we just want to make sure they're doing okay. So I think it's crucial.
Attention, women in business, get ready to ignite your success and elevate your game. Join me for an exclusive 3-day Women in Business conference from October 31st to November 2nd at the breathtaking Gold Coast, Australia. Designed exclusively for online business owners, service-based business owners, coaches, consultants, and course creators. What to expect at this amazing 3-day Women in Business conference? Expect an immersive experience filled with fun, empowering keynote speakers, interactive workshops, networking opportunities with other successful business owners, gain valuable insights, forge meaningful connections, and leave inspired to take your business to new heights. 12 speakers have already been announced, with 5 more speakers being announced shortly. We have Steph Taylor joining us, Anita Seek joining us, Lisa Cordiff joining us, and not to mention Manny from Sound Healing Australia, who will be there for the most magical sound healing experience ever. You do not want to miss the event of the year for women in business. To secure your ticket, head to angelahenderson.com.au today.
Now, you talked about artificial intelligence, so I want to go back there for a minute, and I'm curious to know, how do you anticipate artificial intelligence and machine learning is going to impact marketing strategies moving forward?
Oh, man, that's such a big question. And I think the short answer is I think it'll impact a lot of things, but I think there's good and there's bad and there's opportunities and there's threats. You know, I think that what I'm really kind of, I guess my philosophy on it is AI, of course, is here. It's here to stay. More and more people are going to be using it, which also means more and more people, including your competitors, including the people who are starting businesses that you've dreamt of starting but haven't yet, you know, they're all going to have access basically the same baseline of information and tools and AI to be able to get their businesses off the ground and moving. And that's a little bit of a scary thought. You know, it used to sort of be like, well, you know, I'm going to invest the time to learn this skill, or I'm going to set myself apart in this way, or I have more work ethic or grit or, you know, dedication than other people. It's really leveled the playing field. And I think that's really exciting for people who are ready to take action and move forward. But I also think it creates a huge opportunity now knowing that there's a lot of the same, and there's a lot more of the same being created. And as much as I geek out like anybody else on watching how fast ChatGPT can come up with an outline for a sales page, as a copywriter, I'm like, okay, yeah, great. Now, how am I going to use my brand voice and what I know my customers truly need in order to take this baseline and make it so out of this world that there's no way that they wouldn't purchase from me over somebody else. And so, you know, I choose to take a very optimistic approach to AI. I mean, it would just be so, you know, doom and gloom if all you did was think about all the ways that it's going to take over. And I know that there's a lot of people who are pushing that narrative often for a profit, which I am frustrated by, because I do think it is causing a lot of people to freeze in place and not do anything. And that's like the exact opposite of what we should be doing. We should be like, wow, times are changing, you know, like how do we learn this? It doesn't mean we have to get it all. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you, so much of AI still feels like over my head. Like when people talk about building AI bots, I'm like, how are they doing that? What are they doing? I need to know. Like, I don't know. I'm not one of those people who spends hours digging into the tech nitty gritty, you know, AI stuff. I know that I have learned a lot and that there's still a lot more for me to learn, but I really just try to see the opportunities and doubling down in the value that I'm creating in the marketplace. Because at the end of the day, we're still serving humans. We're humans serving humans. And, you know, going back to what you said about conversations, I'll tell a little story about something that happened in my company. And this is where I think it's really important to watch out for this is, we started using AI in different ways. One of the ways that we started using it was in chatbot conversations through direct messages. And of course, I was really excited by it. I'm like, wow, this is all fully automated. We can, you know, ask people questions and get insights and direct them to the correct sales funnel. You know, it was all about like, how can we automate conversions, right?
Yep.
And the first thing I noticed right away was actually, one, how much I missed being in the DMs, connecting with my customers, because I will get so much insight from one person's question being like, oh, that's what they're worried about. I didn't even think of that. Right.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, we think about how can conversations lead to connections, lead to conversions. But if you piss somebody off, like they ask you a question and AI bot's like answering back and it's not what they want to hear, and they know that they're now communicating with a bot, what's the likelihood that you've lost that customer forever?
And so
We use chatbots to deliver resources and things like that now, but that's the extent of it. You know, if you ask for something and you want it right away, we'll send it to you through a chatbot. But if you DM me on Instagram, me or my team, we are getting back to you, because mm-hmm. I realized that cutting out conversations is literally the worst thing you can do for your business.
100%. And like you said, it's not only the person that you've just pissed off in your DMs, it's who they're having those conversations with at dinner with networking, yep. right? And it becomes a knock-on effect. So I'm a huge believer. I'm also, again, you and I are similar. We've got growth mindsets. There's enormous amounts of opportunity. AI can definitely help. But I also think that it's going to be inevitable that those people that continue to infuse and treat people like people will start to stand out. And that's mm-hmm. where I look at this as an opportunity. How can you embrace it, but at the same time, still be you and true to your values? And I also know one of the things that you are exceptionally good at is the role of storytelling. And like I said, I think AI has its place, but how important do you feel as a copywriter, and have helped so many people around the world, is the role of storytelling in marketing campaigns to create that memorable brand experiences that people are going to want, but will also equally, you want that as the business owner to help with conversions.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, storytelling is everything. There's a concept in screenwriting called narrative transport, where when you're telling a story, your guard, whoever you're telling it to, their guard is immediately down. Because when you're telling a story, they're immediately immersed in the experience, like my Italy story, right? I'm sure everyone could feel and see that experience as I was sharing it. And it was authentic because it was real. You know, AI didn't write it. I lived that experience. And I think people are craving that. They're craving real life storytelling. So as much as you can use AI and other tools to say, hey, write me a story about a girl, let's call her Stacy. And Stacy is really upset about blah, blah, blah. Like, you can get some, you know, interesting anecdotes and even inspiration. Like, it might remind you of one of your own stories in your own life that you wouldn't have thought of if you hadn't have, you know, heard this AI story about Stacy. But what I'm realizing is that, you know, storytelling to me is absolutely foundational, and it's almost exclusively how I market everything I do. You know, if I'm doing a launch, you know, maybe the first, to your point, you know, the first couple emails will be more for those reactive buyers or intuitive buyers. But then after that, I am just going into story. If they want to see the offer and all the FAQs, they can go to the sales page. But my email marketing is focused so squarely on storytelling, because that's what creates trust. Mm. That's what people trust more than anything else, especially if it's a story about you as the business owner or brand owner or whatever, or one of your customers. And I think that that's really what people are craving. And it's a powerful, powerful tool.
I couldn't agree more. I think the power is in the story, because again, people, there's so much that a sales page can do, and then there's so much in the sales page that it can't do. So when you bring on people, like I just had Winnie, one of my clients, on the podcast last week, I think it was, or a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, she made a 5-figure launch with 12 email subscribers, no social media following. And we made 6 Amazing. Figures within the first 5 months. Right.
Wow.
But it's now, again, I always say transparency, it's rare. Do you know what I mean? Let's not go and think that everyone can just do this in 12. Like, that's the story. I don't want to say that everyone will just get, you know, a 5-figure launch with 12 email subscribers. It doesn't always work like that, people. All right. More often not than it does, but the amount of people we've had commenting going, oh my goodness, thank you for sharing the story. This is really great. I thought I had to have everything in place before I could launch, or, you know, whatever. And people connected hearing it straight from Winnie, right? Versus a sales page. Like, is this really true? Is this not true? So there is something so powerful that when you hear people's voices and their emotions, we cannot as human beings connect. And this is, again, where I think, how are you doing that? How are you infusing it to stand out?
And that leads me to one thing to add to that is, one thing I always think about when telling stories is, like, there's stories like testimonials, right? And we all know what testimonials sound like. Wow, this program was amazing. I started it. Now I'm making this much money and it changed my life. And thank you so much. And I highly recommend it. You know, and don't get me wrong, we freaking love testimonials. I mean, as marketers, our business is built on testimonials.
Yes.
But when you talk to someone and you say, why did you, I'm just going to use like my program as an example. Why did you join my program? And they'll be like, because I wanted more freedom. And you're like, okay, cool. Why? And they're like, well, I want to be able to work from home and raise my kids. Mm-hmm. Oh, why is that important to you? Well, because I realized that I didn't have much of a relationship with my parents, and I really want to be there for my kids, and I want to make them proud. And all of a sudden you're just like, whew, goosebumps, you know?
Totally.
And I think that's that's the magic. Like, a story isn't just like, once upon a time, there was a girl who wanted freedom and then she bought the program and then she had freedom. Like, it's really going into the, but why does that matter to you? And the emotions behind it. Because even though I'm not a mother, I can relate to everything that that person shared in her story, because I'm like, man, wanting to make the people in your life proud of you, wanting them to go, yeah, that's my mom, or that's my daughter, or that's my sister. Like, those are such relatable emotions. And that is the part of storytelling that's so powerful.
100%. And it's, and like you said, even though it might not be 100% relatable, they still got you in the heart. You still felt it, right? Because
feelings are relatable no matter what,
100%.
Right?
100%. Yes, 100%. So as we start to wrap up, one of my final questions is in your opinion, based on what we've talked about today, humans, beings are humans, do you know what I mean? And that the notion of storytelling and creating those experiences and having those conversations and still embracing AI, how do you feel, or that people, you know, how do people stand out as a marketer today? What are some of the key things that they should be thinking about?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And like, I secretly love the fact that now just being human is seriously like a superpower. Yes. Like, if you think about it, like it used to be like, we're all human. Wah, wah. Now it's like, hey, guess what? You're human.
Yeah,
and
totally.
You should really lean into that. But it's true, you know? And so for me, I really feel like my business took off when I started owning my story, owning my voice, not being afraid to ruffle feathers. I think I played it safe for so long because I was afraid of offend. I don't know what I was afraid of. I was afraid of, you know, all the things you mentioned earlier, that I wasn't enough, that people wouldn't like me, that like all of these little girl voices, or, you know, whatever voices you have in your head. For me, they're little girl voices that are saying, you can't do this, or, you know, you better not do that because you're going to make all the boys mad. And now I'm like, fuck the boys.
Yep.
I am doing what I'm doing because I love it. And, you know, I think that that's my kind of invitation to everyone listening, is calling you forward to be your boldest self, because that's what people are craving so desperately right now. So say the thing that you're afraid of saying, own it.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you're talking about there is the notion of that people pleasing in us, right? For mm-hmm. whatever reason, we all are people pleasers at some stages in our life. But as an entrepreneur, I found that there's a direct correlation that the more you are a people pleaser, it has a direct impact to your revenue. Mm-hmm. So if you want to make more money, do you know what I mean? Be able to start learning
how to piss off more people.
be able to, do you know what I mean? Not be a people pleaser. Be able to stand up and use your voice, and be okay that not everyone's going to like what you stand for. Not everyone's going to support you. And also, I found that as you become more known in your space, there will always be a direct correlation of more haters, right? Because of their own insecurities, their own fears. And learning to be okay with that is a very profound moment in business when you really no longer give a fuck, right? So give less fucks is what I say.
Exactly. So, yes. Care about people, but give less fucks.
100%. You can still, but this is what I've had to learn, is that I can still be a good human, a kind totally. Human, a compassionate human, but I can still say, I don't like whatever. I can't even think of anything right now. Do you mean? But it's like, and be okay with that, right? Like I eat Nutella, for example. And I remember getting this email once saying like, I can no longer follow you because you're the person that's killing orangutans. And I was like, what? But it's like, because of the palm trees. And I'm like, not all Nutella, depending on what country anyways. But I was like, well, listen, I still eat Nutella from the jar. So you either like me or you don't, but this is what I do. You know, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, but I eat Nutella. I'm sorry if that offends you. But, you know, but like, I had to be okay with that email. And the most amazing thing I found is like, I could have responded back to her, but I didn't. And when you no longer respond, there's power in that too, because I believe wherever there is drama, there is trauma. And I've gotten, you know, I see it all the time, and I just go, you know what? That's her stuff. Right? Like she can believe whatever she wants, but I don't have to re-engage. And then now 8 hours of my life is going back and forth with this woman that I don't even know, who just said that I was an orangutan killer.
About Nutella.
About Nutella, right? So all I'm saying is like, you can still be a kind human, right? And you can still be compassionate, but you can still have a voice, right? Absolutely. And knowing that, you know, no one is ever going to 100% agree with who you are or what you stand for, because that's what makes us human. Now, this has been absolutely fantastic. And oh, I've missed your smile and your conversations. But for those listeners wanting to connect with you, tell us what you've got happening in your world. Where can they find you? Any programs they can connect with? Give us a little bit more about what they can do with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, the best place to find me is Instagram at Copy Posse, P-O-S-S-E, or you can find me at copyposse.com. Got a lot of exciting things coming up this year, launching a new membership for copywriters, actually here in like a week and a bit. I don't know when this is going live, but I'm also planning my first ever live event, which that's probably a whole other podcast episode at some point, Angela, talking about managing and running a live event, but that's happening later this year. So I'm excited. You know, I'm enjoying what I'm doing and love to connect with anybody who reaches out. So if you're listening to this and want to say hi, you can just pop into my DMs on Instagram and I look forward to hearing from you.
Fantastic. And when is your live event? Because we just announced our 3-day Women in Business conference here in Australia. So my friend, I completely can understand live events and where you're coming from. Where will yours be held and when is it happening?
It'll be held in October, still finalizing the dates, but second half of October in Vancouver, Canada.
All right. So for all those that can't come to Australia, ours is October 31st to November 2nd. Make sure you head over, connect with Alex, because again, I can tell you she's an amazing human and would be an absolute privilege to be at her event. So if you're on the other side of the world, make sure you check that out.
Thank you.
Now, my final question is, looking back on your business journey, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
Ooh, probably that nobody's thinking about you as much as you think they are. Like, I remember when I started my YouTube channel, I was so terrified. I mean, not only did barely anybody watch my first YouTube channel or my first YouTube video, or really my first like 50 YouTube videos, maybe not that many, but we all have this tendency to think that everybody's looking at us and having thoughts about us. Like, everybody's so caught up in their own shit, you know?
Totally, 100%.
Really. And so, whatever it is that you want to do and you're holding yourself back because of whatever reason, just kind of go for it. Whether it's like stepping up in your business, like for me, hosting a live event is such an edge for me, because I don't know why. I'm just like, I'm so used to just being this like online personality. And so whatever it is an edge for you in your business, like just go for it. Just go for it.
I absolutely love that. Sorry, good old grateful. You got to love the having a dog as you're recording a podcast. But no, I do. Just go for it, right? The only thing that's holding you back is yourself. And I think we are our biggest critics sometimes. So again, just go, 100%. Give less fucks. And, you know, you've got something awesome to offer the world. And I always think about it, and I say this on the podcast, but if you were on your deathbed tomorrow, what would you regret? Go and do it. You know, really kind of live with those no regrets. But Alex, my friend, it is always awesome to connect with you. I hope life treats you well for the rest of the year, you know what I mean, and so forth over back home in Canada. And I know you're going into summer, so have the most beautiful summer in your new home and with your beautiful dog and your, you know, 1-year husband. But yes, thank you for your awesomeness. Thank you for your knowledge. And for those who have not connected with Alex, I strongly encourage you to head over to her Instagram. We'll have all of her links inside of the show notes at angelahenderson.com.au. But for now, you amazing listener, have a beautiful day no matter where you are in the world. And I look forward to you joining me again for another podcast episode of the Angela Henderson Online Business Show. Thanks again, Alex.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.